Today I'm going to talk about something else that I don't necessarily have the practical experience on it, the whole thing of pregnancy. So are there any moms in the house here that have been pregnant or are currently pregnant? All the mothers that have had kids or are currently pregnant, just put up your hands. You can put up your hand nice and high. We have very few moms in the house, actually. A lot of young people. Cool. Okay. But so you can talk more, and my wife will also speak a little bit more about, or share a little bit about her story. But one thing is amazing about church is that you hear God's voice. Amen. So come to church and bring other people to church. They will hear God's voice. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? God speaks in church. Amen. God speaks all over. But I believe this morning, I just want to encourage you that you can hear God's voice very clearly in church. Even if you just come, God will speak to you. Amen. Through the worship, through words on the screen, through hopefully through the sermon as well, but not only the sermon. God is speaking. I'm so excited again about church. I don't know about you. And some people are staying away from church, and church doesn't mean much to people anymore, it seems. But sure, as believers, God really is with us when we gather. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Who loves our church? Who's excited to invite people to our church? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Ben. That was awesome. Thanks, Steve and Shirley, for facilitating the service. It's amazing. For all the volunteers, everyone just making church happen. You guys are amazing. Okay. Give yourselves a hand. Cool. So we're busy with a series called Giving Birth. If you guys have been visiting or are visiting us today and you haven't been with us, it's the third part of the Giving Birth series. So next week we'll finish up with it. So we talked first of all about, the first thing was the importance of intimacy. Practically, when we have to give birth or birth a baby, it doesn't start with the birthing, it starts with intimacy. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Then the reality of responsibility was number two. When you become pregnant or conceived, then as parents you realize, whoa, there's quite a responsibility coming your way, and the reality hits you because you've got to lay down your life. And then the third one today, in the process of giving birth, is what I'm going to focus on, the pain of pregnancy. Wilmarie is swanger op die oomblik, and Lenae is swanger. Is there any swanger, ander swanger vrouens hier? So any other pregnant women? I think Lisa is also pregnant in our church. Who else is pregnant? No one else. It's just the two. And Hayley as well. She's also away. So a couple of ladies are going through this pain of pregnancy. Wilmarie, is it reg so? Of was alles net smooth sailing? Lenae, was alles net amazing and smooth? Of was a bikkie pain betrokke? Bikkie ongemaklikheid? Okay. So I wanna equate the natural pregnancy process with spiritual pregnancy. Because I believe, guys, you're involved in this as well. When it comes to the purposes of God and giving birth to God's purposes, all of us are involved. Amen. Sorry, guys, you're not going to escape this one. If you want to. No one has to be pregnant with God's purposes. No one has to. You can say no and you can abort and you can never get pregnant with the purposes of God if you don't want to. So no one has to. But if you do get pregnant with the purposes of God, it will cost you something. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. And unfortunately, pregnancy in the natural is a wonderful process lasting all of 9 months. Isn't that amazing? 9 months. Why nine? Why not a couple of days? Imagine if you found out you conceived the baby and suddenly the baby's going to come like in a few days' time. Imagine that. God knows, and He's got the best for us, and He knows that if a baby pops within a few days of falling pregnant, I think we're gonna die, especially the guys, okay? The ladies probably will cope because they're just good at coping with stuff like that, but us men, we will die. But God is a supreme designer, and God knows that we need processes in our lives. God knows that processes are really important. And pregnancy consists of 3 trimesters. And so I did some research here, and I'm just going to quote some stuff off the internet. Yes, it's not my stuff. This is real medical stuff. But, my wife will talk now about her experience. But in the first trimester, within the first few weeks following conception, your hormone levels change significantly. This is now this, this, this website that talks to the women so nicely and says, your hormone levels will change significantly. Your uterus begins to support the growth of the placenta and the fetus. Your body adds to its blood supply to carry oxygen and nutrients to the developing baby, and your heart rate increases. These changes accompany many of the pregnancy symptoms, such as, and these are amazing stuff that happens to you. You get tired, fatigue sets in. You get something like morning sickness. It's amazing how awesome to have morning sickness. You get headaches, and then you get constipation. Late, I'm sure the students are now so excited one day to get married and get pregnant. After this sermon, you're gonna kill me. But that happens in the first trimester, so a lot of stuff starts to happen. It's an awesome process. Wouldn't you agree? Thank you, Lord. Then in the second trimester, it says here, while the discomforts of early pregnancy should ease off, and then you think, oh, you've reached the second trimester, and so now you have a breakthrough. It says there are a few symptoms to get used to. Common complaints include leg cramps and heartburn. Things are getting better here. You might find yourself growing more of an appetite, and your weight gain will accelerate. Your woman weight gain, that's like awesome, you know. I'm so excited for that. And then it says, work on gaining the amount of weight recommended and not putting on extra weight. It says you must walk and maybe run as well. Choose healthy, nutrient-dense foods and talk to your doctor about weight gain on each visit. But the following will also become apparent. You might get varicose veins, you'll get back aches, and you'll get some nasal congestion with that. Amazing. The second trimester is awesome. So you start to get bigger, and pregnancy is amazing. It's awesome. Then in the third trimester, I put this in my own words, it's not from the website, you feel really huge, okay? And you feel uncomfortable, and then you struggle to sleep at night, and you have to go to the toilet pretty much every 5 minutes, okay? Not quite, but probably once an hour, because your bladder gets pushed and so on. And then, unfortunately, there are travel restrictions for cruise ships and airlines, because in that third trimester, it wouldn't be good to be too far away from your doctor. So you're not allowed to go on a cruise ship at 28 weeks. Oh, damn, all the holidays that you've planned. And then you start stressing about the delivery and the pain that comes with the delivery. And then, of course, towards the end of that third trimester, the contractions start, the pain sets in, and then you realize now is the time for that final delivery and all the challenges that go with delivering a baby. 9 months of pure bliss. Doesn't it sound awesome to become pregnant? And I don't want to talk about, it sounds now I'm very negative, and it's all painful, and it's not all painful. There's a joy involved with being pregnant, really. It's an amazing experience, especially when you feel the baby kicking. The dad, you know, as a dad, you put your hand on your wife's tummy and you feel the baby starting to kick. It's amazing. It's amazing to give birth to God's purposes. But today I want to focus on the pain of preparation. The pain of pregnancy equals the pain of preparation. Amen. And God knows what He has to prepare us for. God knows He needs to prepare us for stuff to come. And that's why we have to go through a process. And it's not an easy process. It is a joyful process. But reality is, it's a process of laying down our lives. And I just want to quickly ask my wife. And my wife had, there was when Matthew was, she was pregnant with Matthew, her first pregnancy. Obviously the first pregnancy is sometimes probably the most challenging many times, because it's the first time your body experiences the second and third time. It gets easier. Just because we stretched, we're more comfortable, we're ready for it. But in her first pregnancy, there was this one sore time she went through with a rib or something. Yeah, was sore on it. We thought she's going to die. She really has got a pain threshold, but she thought she was going to die. But maybe she can just quickly share some of her own experiences of pregnancy, and specifically also this time when it was really tough.
Yeah, I think when Alistair asked me to share, I first thought I don't want to, but then I thought he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, so I better come and share. Because I can see some of the ladies probably thinking he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think it is like he said, there is challenges and all of these things. I think all of us ladies that's been through it, or the girls that's going through it now, you know you can identify with some of it. I think this huge thing he put in, because I remember one morning, I think it was with Nathan, or can't even, maybe all three of them. I was standing, I looked at my tummy, and he looked, and his eyes went big, and he says, "You're huge." You know, so And that's one of those things where you think, oh, this is not what I want to hear. You already feel like that, so that's the last thing you want to hear. So I think that is just the changes. It's a challenge where you realize that your body is going through a stretch and everything is changing and you are getting bigger and you are uncomfortable. You don't sleep that nicely anymore. You wake up at night, you roll around, you're uncomfortable. But then through it all, also knowing like what he said is that there is a purpose of this. It's not just you're uncomfortable and you're dying to yourself, but it's because there's something bigger than that coming. And even now, I'm thinking you should have actually asked Wilmarie or Lenae or one of them to share, because, you know, when the joy is there of the baby, you almost forget the hard times that you went through when you were in it. But remembering this one situation that he spoke about, I got sick, and, you know, when you're pregnant, you can't take certain medication. All this always say to you is you can take a Panado. I also remember once I had tummy bug and I went to the, I said, just give me something, I can't take this anymore. And they said, you can take Panado. I was like, I don't want Panado, I want something stronger. But then you can't really take medications. I had a cold and I got, like, I was coughing myself to a standstill. And I remember my rib getting so sore that I couldn't breathe. I was like, literally, every time I went like this, I feel like I couldn't. So eventually I said to Alison, no, just take me to the hospital. I can't. I think I cracked a rib or something is broken inside. And that, just like when we got them now ready, they must take x-rays. They must do something, because I'm really, when I got there, they said, sorry, we can't take x-rays because you're pregnant. So we can just put you on a drip. So they put me on a pain. I don't know. It's probably a Panado drip, whatever. And like, I think that was just for my head to feel better, and I was there on a drip for an hour, and they said, okay, you can go home now, you're not gonna die. So yeah, that's just one of the experiences. I think there is times where it's really painful, but then also knowing that it's not just for yourself, it is because there's a bigger purpose in this pain that helps you to go through just a pregnancy. Yeah.
Thanks, my love. I know you understand it much better than me. But so today I really want to talk about and equate the natural pregnancy that women go through with also God's pregnancy for us. If He wants to give birth in us and through us, if we are saying yes to the Lord, God, birth your purposes in us, then God also wants us to go through this pain of I'm calling it preparation. Pregnancy sounds a bit like more in the natural, but really for the preparation that God wants to do in our hearts. And so the scripture I'm looking at this morning is from Romans 8, verse 16 to 29. I'm going to go through this and trust that in the Spirit God will really impart something through the scripture. Because I've read the scripture a couple of times, and many of these individual verses in the scripture are like some of our favorite scriptures. And we quote them, but we don't understand the full context of what God is really saying. So Romans chapter 8, verse 16 starts with this. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Paul is writing in Romans chapter 8 here, and he's telling us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 starts with, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Most of us know that scripture. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, because he says in verse chapter 7 of Romans, he says he's struggling with this old man, the flesh in himself, and sometimes he does what he wants to, he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't want to do what he does, and it's like do and do and don't and all those things in Romans chapter 7. And he says there's this wrestle inside of him and trying to do the right thing, trying to please God. And then he says, but there's no condemnation. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can overcome. You can do what God has called you to do. And so then he goes on. He says, we are all sons, and the Spirit bears witness. The Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father, all of that stuff. That's just the background. Then he says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm going to stop there before I go on to the rest. In order to give birth to the purposes of God, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because our identity will be challenged many times. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be secure and know our true identity as children of God. Amen. And he says to us, Jesus said to his disciples that they would do greater works than he did in John chapter 14. Anyone read that scripture? Jesus said to his disciples, you will do greater works than I did. And many of us want to do the greater works. We were like wondering, Jesus, but what does that mean? And what greater works are we going to do? And the disciples walked in those greater works. And Jesus was talking there in John chapter 14 about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is going to come to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, and to empower us to do greater things than Jesus did. And Paul is like, he's confirming it here. But there is this condition. And he says here, if indeed we suffer with him. You can underline that in your Bible. If indeed we suffer with him. We are joint heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified together. And many times in the modern church, we just scratch that out. We'll rather go on and say, if indeed, or we say, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ that we may be glorified together. Isn't that so? We love to read scripture and we just scratch out the phrases that seem a little bit uncomfortable. Suffering? That's not really true. It's like, I can do all things through Christ, you know, like abundant life and all of this stuff. But in order to really give birth to the purpose of God, there has to be an element of laying down our lives. And Paul confirms it and he says, if we want to do the greater works that Jesus said we're going to do, if we want to give birth to his purposes, we need to do what Jesus did. Amen. And you know what he did? He did suffer. And it's not like we have to die on the cross again. I'm not saying we have to be crucified or we have to go through exactly what Jesus did, because he did what we cannot do for ourselves. He died on the cross because we could not die and give our lives up to be saved. Only he can save us. But it does say, and Paul talks a lot in the New Testament, and he writes in his letters about the suffering that he went through. And in fact, further on in this whole chapter, we won't get into that now, but in verse 36, I think it is, Paul talks about the suffering, and he mentions certain things like tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. He said, can suffering separate us from God? Nothing can separate us from God. He ends with that in chapter 8. And so this whole chapter 8 actually does talk about the suffering that we need to go through in order to do the great things Jesus has called us to do. And Paul went through that suffering. Paul's life is a testimony of doing what Jesus did and suffering for the cause of the gospel. And it's not suffering because, you know, we're just disobedient. It's suffering because we're obedient. Amen. Suffering because we're saying yes to the purpose of God. Suffering the little bit of pregnancy pains that we might have to go through because we've said yes to the purposes of God. It's not suffering because we're disobedient. Please don't get me wrong on that. And I don't think we understand suffering in the Western church. In this church, in this world we live in, we don't understand the suffering and the persecution some believers in this world are going through, even right now. But all of us, and I'm not saying we must become persecuted now to understand suffering, but God sometimes does send persecution to the church just to scatter us so that we can preach the gospel like the first church did. But let's call it the suffering that we understand. Let's call it sometimes like tribulations or challenges or the things that we can understand, because I think we understand persecution. So suffering is not only persecution. It's just sometimes not being so popular, and sometimes even in the spirit, the suffering that you go through, the wrestling with God, because you're wrestling just with your own flesh, you're wrestling with the things of the world. That's also what Paul says. It's the laying down of self. But the reward is going to be God's glory, isn't that so? It says that we may be glorified together. The reward is going to be God's glory and the place where we are all one day fully glorified in him. And then he goes on, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that amazing to know that there's going to be glory revealed in all of us one day? One day we're going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. Isn't that going to be awesome when we become like Jesus? When we are glorified. But until that time, there's going to be this preparation and there's going to be a pain of birthing process that God wants to do in us. And it says here, it says, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation is waiting in anticipation for God's purposes and plans to be revealed. And guess what? Ultimately, it has to do with people. God is going to redeem the earth, yes, but primarily God's focus is not on trying to, you know, make the earth a new place. He wants to make hearts new. He wants to make people new. He wants sons and daughters to stand up and to understand who they really are in Christ, because everyone belongs to Christ. Amen. God died for the unbelievers and the believers. God died for the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus died for even those right now who don't know him. And he wants them to be his children. He believes they're his children, but they need to believe they're his children. They need to respond. And we, even in our hearts, need to believe and understand who we are in Christ Jesus. The earnest expectation is eagerly awaiting. The creation is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the children of God. And you see, God is in total and in sovereign control, but he is the God of hope. It says here, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. The creation is not looking good at the moment. The earth is going backwards. People seem to be going down, but God is a God of hope. The South Africa is a nation of hope. We can be a nation of hope if we say, God, you're our hope. But it doesn't look great economically. It doesn't look great politically, but we serve a God of hope. Amen. And our lives sometimes don't look like they're going anywhere, but we serve a God of hope. Even in the worst of times, we can always have hope. And so God is in control, and he's allowing stuff to happen in order that these purposes can come to pass. Isn't that amazing? He's sovereign, he's sovereign, he's sovereign. But it says it's not all is doom and all is not doom and gloom because of what Christ did on the cross. But it says the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Christ made it possible that as people are redeemed, so too will the creation be redeemed and delivered from destruction. You see, the earth is also experiencing the pain of the preparation of God's purposes. If you do research today, you will realize how the natural earthquakes and the tsunamis and the stuff that's happening is actually very similar to pregnancy, to contraction pains. Birthing pains. It's getting shorter and shorter because that's what contractions are long. The doctors say to you, if your contractions are long, well, there's a lot of time between contractions, then it's not quite time yet. But if the time starts to get shorter until a certain time, then you better get to that hospital. Then this baby is going to come. And the earth is going through these contraction processes. The earth is going through this labor pains because it's experiencing that God's purposes need to be born and God needs to come back. Jesus needs to come back because something needs to change. It can't go on like this. Like they say in Afrikaans, there's that saying, if it dinge moet of jouself te bly of verander, maar so kan dit nie aangaan nie. It's a little bit like that. Something must change. Amen. If this earth goes on like it is going to go on, it's going to be one big explosion and just we're going to kill ourselves with all the technology, with all the stuff. Unless Jesus comes back a second time. But what is amazing is that we can see there's the pain of preparation, that even the creation itself is going through this pain of preparation in order to prepare for the second coming, that Jesus can make all things new once and for all. But until then, he gives us the privilege of birthing it in our own lives. And individually as believers, God wants to also take us through phases of preparation for his purposes. Listen to this. It says, not only that. Not only is the creation experiencing this labor pains, these birth pains, so too are we. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Turn to someone next to you and say, the first fruits of the Spirit. If you have the first fruits of the Spirit, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if you've been called by God, sealed by God, and saying, I'm engaged with you, because that's what the Holy Spirit is equated to in the Bible, an engagement ring. It's the seal that I'm coming back for you. If you're the bride of Christ, if you're filled with His Spirit, you know what? You're going to be wrestling with God until He comes back. Amen. Make a peace with it. It's not easy, but it's awesome to know, God, you've chosen me. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to be like Jacob. I want to wrestle with you because I want your purposes to be born in my life and through my life. And as a church, I believe we've been called to wrestle with God so that his purposes can be come to pass here in the city of ours, in this amazing city of Bloemfontein. And you look at it in the winter, it's like the city looks nothing. Everything's died. And sometimes it's like that in the spirit. Even in the summer, things look good. But sometimes in the spirit, it seems, Lord, stuff has died. Yeah. But there is hope. Jesus is raising up his church. He's called us as his church. He's called us as his bride. And it says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. eagerly awaiting. You know, the early church would greet each other with this, Maranatha, our Lord Jesus, come. The first church would be so excited that, and it's been 2,000 years later and still Jesus hasn't come back. But then they were crying out and said, Jesus, come back. But we ourselves are groaning within ourselves. Why? Because they wanted the final redemption. They wanted glorification. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hopeful. Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. How much do we long for the purposes of God to be fulfilled, friends? How much do you long for the purposes of God to be fulfilled in your life, really? Because if you're really serious about God, you'll really say, God, I want to be your vessel. I want to not let you go. I want to see your kingdom come in my life and through my life. Do you really long for it? Are you really excited not only to have it happen, but to be the answer itself, that you can be the answer? Are we willing to start to become pregnant with the purpose of God in a place of prayer? Amen. That is where it starts. And it starts with intimacy. I said a couple of weeks ago, it starts with intimacy, but it doesn't stop there. When it comes to the Holy Spirit and the purpose of God, it's not like there's this one-time intimacy and then that's it. It's a continuous process. It's a little bit different from the natural process because you can have intimacy once and you can get pregnant and there you go. You're never intimate again. And it's almost a bit of an abortion, even though it's a baby, but it's terrible when the father and the mother aren't looking after this baby. Fortunately, God looks after a baby. And that's why God calls us to look after orphans, because his plan A didn't work because the parents were disobedient and just got pregnant and then fell apart and even just chucked the baby away. It's terrible. But in the spirit, God wants us to be continually intimate with him. He wants us to be intimate to even through the pregnancy and the preparation process. He wants us to wrestle with him and to say, God, I want to pray. I want to be pregnant with your purposes. And then, Lord, I don't only want to be the one who prays. Because I've got a sneaky suspicion why people don't pray anymore. You know why? It's because they don't want to be the answer to their prayers. Because that's what God has called us to be. He's called us to be prayer warriors and then to be the answer to that prayer. We can't just pray and then say someone else will answer be the answer. And sometimes it is like that. I'm not saying it's always like that, but some of us just want to pray and we don't want to be the answer. But I believe God is calling his church back to pray again, but we're going to be the answer as well. Amen. We're going to be the answer to our own prayers, each one of us. And as a group, we're going to be answering God's plan and his purpose in the city, and we're going to be the prayer warriors, and then we're going to go out. I saw a wonderful video clip this week. Two people sent it to me of just like the guy, it was talking about prayer, and he said, you know what, there are many unreached people groups in the world, but the church is an unreached people group when it comes to prayer. And I believe it's God is calling us back to this place of intimacy with him, this place of giving birth. And if you don't believe me that the scripture is talking about this, then just let's read on. And it's an active waiting. I want to say it's an active waiting because it says here, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Why? Because God's purposes aren't always seen. And that takes faith. Sometimes we see God's purpose, we see growth, we see physical stuff happening, but we don't always see the stuff happening. And then we grow weary and we give up and we think, oh God, your purposes aren't happening. No, God says you're not going to see everything because then you don't need hope anymore. But when you start to wrestle with me and you trust that people will get saved, you trust that my kingdom will come, you trust that this nation of ours will be changed, then we need to persevere and we need to go through with it. But it's an act of waiting. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Tell someone next to you, the Spirit helps us. And this isn't just talking about any weaknesses. This is talking about the place where you're wrestling with God, where you're in the preparation phase, you're in this pregnancy phase, and it says, therefore, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I believe Paul is here talking about wrestling with God, talking about giving birth to God's purposes by the Spirit and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit where it's not always easy. Dis nie altyd maanskyn en rose, alles gaan nie altyd goed nie. But it's a place of wrestling with God and saying, you know what, we don't even know what we always want to pray for. We don't even know what we should pray for sometimes. But But fortunately, we have a helper. Fortunately, God's strength is made perfect, and He gives us His Spirit, because it says the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints. Prayer and preparation go hand in hand, friends. If you want to really give birth to the purposes of God, it starts in prayer. And it continues in prayer, because even when God's baby is born, you need to pray for that protection. And we can abort a baby halfway through a pregnancy. It's so easy to do it. It's terrible. Our babies are being killed inside their mother's womb these days. It's like it's just become the norm. Countries are just legalizing it. And it's the same in the Spirit. We can just abort God's purposes halfway through. It's so easy to just walk away from God. You know how many believers are getting saved and then they're backsliding? You know, I'm discipling some of the young people at the moment, and it's just so amazing. I'm so excited for us as a disciple-making church, because so many people give their lives to Christ at school. They start to follow Christ, and then they come to university, and that first year, it's tough. People walk away. The world is so nice. The world is, it's so easy to follow the world. So much better, it seems. But we need to pray for people to continue in this process of discipleship, to continue walking with Christ, to continue lighting the fires all over. And God is calling us to do that. God is calling us to pray and then to give birth to His purposes, to continue to pray for protection and for people not to backslide, for people not to walk away from God. For people to fulfill their purposes in God. But the Spirit helps with our weaknesses, because He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows what God's plans are. And He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that amazing? When we have the Holy Spirit, we can be in line with the will of God. We don't have to walk away from the will of God. And here's our favorite scripture. Here's our favorite. So tell someone next to you, here comes your favorite scripture. I think this scripture is probably the most favorite scripture for every believer, okay? And we quote this through the tough time, and we know that all things work together for good. Tell someone next to you, all things work together for good. For those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. But what is the context of the scripture? It's the context of the preparation of the plans and purposes of God, giving birth to the purposes of God. And it's the context of suffering. It's the context of the little bit of pain that you go through for the joy that is going to be revealed, for the baby to be born. It's like when Esther went through that, you know, when you're going to hospital and you think your wife's going to die, you know, like, and then you know, okay, cool, this is like things will work together for good. But we have to push through this purpose. We have to push through when we know God has called us. God is starting to birth something in us, and we just need to stay the course. We need to persevere, and we need to know the scripture is true, especially in that context. It's not just for your little purposes that you've suddenly decided, oh, it's going wrong now and all things. No. If it's going wrong, God will make sure it stays wrong. God doesn't want to birth something that will take you off your relationship with Him. If it's not His will, it won't happen, and things won't work together for good. But if it's His purpose, if you're called according to His purpose, if you're following Him and you know this is God birthing something in you, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be all smooth sailing. The pregnancy is going to take its toll on you at times. Times you are going to want to like, no, why am I becoming a mom and dad? Why? But all moms and dads know that you're definitely not going to, you're not going to let this baby go. This is your precious, prized possession. You can't wait for this baby to come. I mean, Linnea and Marina's kan nie wag vir hulle kleintjie. Chris en Wilmarie kan nie wag nie. Even though it's tough, you go through those tough times because you know what's coming, and that's next week's sermon, the beauty of birthing. The beauty of God's purposes. You definitely won't let it go, but you need to hold on to His word. You need to say, you know what, things will work together. If it looks like it's going down, I'm going to trust God because it's His purposes. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Isn't that amazing? Talking about birthing again. That Christ was birthed, Christ was sent to this earth, He was physically born as a human being, and He gave birth to God's incredible purpose, the best purpose there ever was, that mankind can be redeemed back to God. But God wants to give birth through Jesus as the captain of our salvation. Jesus as the one who was the firstborn among many. He wants to give birth to many sons. Many children, ladies, it's not only guys. Many sons and daughters of God, children of God, who will ultimately become like Him. That is His purpose. And so God's purposes have to do with making disciples, just like Jesus said in Matthew 28. His last words were, go and make disciples. And so this morning, I want to ask you, what is God calling you to do when it comes to making disciples? What is He calling? What does He want to birth in you that you can become a disciple, first of all, and then make disciples? It's all about fruitfulness, giving birth, and this pregnancy thing isn't about the pregnancy and all the suffering and all the pain. It's about being fruitful and ultimately fulfilling God's purpose of multiplication. But it's going to take some laying down to ourselves. And so the first question I want to ask just before I finish, are you willing to die? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Are you willing to die? Questions I want to ask you this morning when it comes to the pain of preparation. Are you willing to die? John the Baptist said in John 3 verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Because when you get pregnant, you realize in the natural as well, and I said that the last time, you need to die to yourself. It's not about you anymore. It's about this little baby. It's about the purpose of God coming to pass. It's not only about you, it's about more people. Do we have the capacity for more people in our hearts? God wants to stretch us like a woman gets physically stretched. You have stretch marks after pregnancy. Isn't that so, ladies, that have been pregnant? You have stretch marks on you. My skoonmaas, he still said 5 kinders groot gemaak. So she knows about pregnancy as well. But you have stretch marks on you. But you know what? God wants us to be stretched. God wants us to have capacity in our hearts for more people. So are you willing to die? Second question, are you willing to grow? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to go through this process of sanctification, growing into holiness, becoming more like Him? Because that's what you do in pregnancy. You grow. Okay. You die, and then you start to grow. And then, are you willing to trust? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you willing to trust God that when you become pregnant with His purposes, you don't have a clue as to what's coming? You don't have a clue as to when you're going to have to go to the hospital. And you know, I was always, when Matthew was born, or actually more when Caitlin was born, because Matthew was like, he came a little bit late, so we had a set time where we went in for the induction process and so on. So he had a set time, so we kind of knew when he was going to come. But with Caitlin and Nathan, it was like it could happen any time, and the contractions came, and so it's the middle of the night, and I'm thinking, yes, am I going to get my car all souped up and put a free flow exhaust on that I'm going to go through the red robots and get to the hospital, and like you know how it's going to be when it really comes, and you have to, you know. But in the end, they all took their time in coming. It wasn't such a rush. But I still remember driving to Rosa Park for Caitlin and Nathan. I was like, yes, I'm going to skip a red robot jack because my wife's about to give birth. You know, I don't care what the cops say, but I'm going to take this chance. And we get there, and the nurse is like, no, look, yeah, you know, it's a few hours to go. You're not quite there yet. But we got there in time. But you don't have a clue how it's going to be when you have to give birth. You don't have a clue the first time. How is it going to feel when you hold that baby and you don't have a clue as to how to be a dad, but you trust in God? And it's the same with God's purpose. We don't have a clue, but God is saying to us to walk on the water. He's saying to us, in your weakness, my strength is going to be made perfect. I'm going to use you. You think you're not a good dad or a mom, you're going to be an amazing dad or mom because I've called you. I want to use you. Are you willing to trust Him? You see, the preparation process, before we close this morning, reveals 4 P's. It reveals, first of all, it actually reveals 2 things in each of these P's. The number one is, It reveals what is in the heart and what should be in the heart. So where's your perspective? Where is your focus? Is it about yourself or is it about God? So the pregnancy process that we go through, God does it specifically because He reveals in us where is our focus. Is our focus, and it's an issue of worship, are we worshiping self or are we really worshiping God? Number two, the priorities. What is really important? Is your life important for you? Is it all about me, you, or is it about other people? Is it about your priorities and what's important for you, or is it what's important for God? And then the power. Where is your source? Does your source come from your own strength, your own gifts, your own abilities, or does it come from the power of the Holy Spirit? And lastly, what is this all about, the purpose? Is it about your life and your success? Or is it about God's glory and God's fame? And the pregnancy and the preparation and the pain that you go through, the suffering will reveal that, and it will align us to the fact that maybe our perspective is wrong. Maybe it is all about me and I'm worshiping self. Or maybe my priorities are wrong. Maybe it's what's important for me. Or my strength is all based in what I'm comfortable with and what I've been given, my gifts and my talents. And it's really about my success and my life. But that process will take you to a place where you realize this is about God's baby being born. This is about God's purposes. The focus should be on worshiping Him, first of all. The focus should be on what's important for God, what's important for His kingdom to come. The focus is His source and His strength will make us go through it. He will sustain us. And ultimately, it's all for His glory and His purpose. Can the band come forward this morning and let's pray together and just respond in the Spirit and say, Lord, I want to be part of what You want to do. The last scripture this morning as the band come up is, my little children, Paul writes to his followers and he says, for whom I labor in birth again. Until Christ is formed in you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth, until Christ is formed in you. Paul understood. That's why he uses this comparison with birth pains, with laboring pains, with pregnancy pains. He uses it and he says, you know what? I'm going through this because I want you to become born. I want you to become conformed to the image of Christ. And then I want you to do the same thing. So Paul said, I want you to also to go through what I've been through. I want you to go through the process of giving birth to God's plans, to God's purposes, to making disciples. And when I was praying for you guys for the service, I really felt that some people here, God is, you're ready. You are actually going through this pregnancy process now. You're going through a birthing process. You're going through a preparation process, and God wants you to just keep going. He wants you to give birth to His purposes. For some people, it's still coming. You don't have a clue as to what I'm speaking about right now, but you know what? It's coming. Maybe next year, maybe in the years to come, you're going to remember when you start to wrestle with God. You're going to remember, God, You've called me. I'm not going to abort this baby. I'm not going to neglect wrestling with You. I'm not going to stop until You give birth to children, disciples. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to make a disciple and make many disciples. In Bible times, they used to raise kids through communities. It wasn't just a mother and a father that raised the kid. It was a whole village, a whole community. And I believe God is calling us to be a church that raises disciples. Not just one. God's given us a great capacity for many disciples. Would you agree? If it was one, we'd be fine with it. But I know God doesn't just want to give us one disciple. He wants to help us to raise many, many, many people, many disciples in this church. Just as the women are starting to, Ingrid's had her baby, so we've got one little new disciple in our church. What's her name again? Ilana. It's awesome. It's amazing. Can't wait to see her. Haven't seen her yet. Guess they won't be coming to church in a while. But we're going to have to get our mother's room right. Get sound there and get that they can be comfortable. Amen. Some people will have to take ownership of our mother's room, that some people can just come to church with their babies. But I mean, we've got babies to raise, physical babies. Pilmarie, I think Pilmarie's next. Is jy volgende of is it Hailey? But we're going to bless these moms with, we've got like food rosters sorted, because we're going to bless them with food and help them to, you know, get through this new process. Lanae, Hailey, Lisa, having twins, so they're going to have four kids. That's hectic. We need to help them. We need to really help them. But you know, it's just a sign that God wants to give us many new babies in the Spirit. Amen. There's going to be some weird and wonderful people coming. Lost people, broken people. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be messy. It's messy raising kids. Amen. But that's why, guys, 9 months for off my mom, my squin mom. She was thankful she had 9 months for all 5 kids. Because you need to prepare for each one. Each one's unique. Each one's special. Each one's got his or her own challenges and own issues. None of us are perfect. But God will send us some challenging babies in the Spirit. But He can trust us. Or can He? That's the question. Can He trust us with lots of people? Can He trust you with someone? Do you have space in your heart? Are you prepared to be stretched? That you can have space in your heart for more people. Because it's wonderful. And we'll talk about that next week. It's wonderful seeing babies being born. Spiritual babies. Wonderful seeing people getting saved. The beauty of birthing. Amen. But it takes 9 months. And so some of you are going to go, are you busy going through the process? Some of you will go through this process. God will give someone or give His purposes in your heart. He'll start to let you conceive them, and then you'll go through the preparation. You'll be stretched and you'll want to walk away. Believe me, even in the ministry, I've wanted to walk away. It's not always easy, but it's joyful seeing Christ being formed in people. Amen. It's joyful seeing the birthing process happening. The labor process, it's tough, but it's awesome. Like Esther said, it's, you actually forget the tough times when you see the beauty. But let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this word, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that You want to help us to get ready, Lord, for what You're about to do. Lord, we embrace the preparation and the pains and the labor pains and the contractions that will come. We embrace it, Lord. We don't want to stop halfway, Lord, because You know it's... We actually cannot, Lord. It's just wrong to stop, Lord. But just like in the natural, so many babies are being aborted, Lord, we want to say in the Spirit, in this church, Lord, there won't be abortions. There won't be a walking away. There won't be a growing weary while doing good, Lord. We will persevere, Lord, and we will wrestle with You, and we will pray, Lord. We will intercede. We will fast, Lord. We will do whatever we have to do. And we commit ourselves to that this morning, Lord. We commit ourselves to going through the tough times, Lord. We commit ourselves to embracing the suffering, Lord. Because sometimes, Lord, it's just not a drop in the bucket compared to what's going to happen when the glory comes. We want to see Your glory, God. We want to see that Your glory fills this earth like the waters cover the sea. We want to see the redemption of many people, Lord. We want to see children of God being born, Lord. We want to see the earth being reformed, Lord, being made new one day when Jesus comes back. We want to be there, Lord. We want to be on the front line of the battle. And so thank You, Lord, that we can count the cost like we spoke a couple of weeks ago. Lord, this responsibility is not easy, Lord, but it's real, and you're asking us, can You trust us, Lord? We know we can trust You, Lord, but can You trust us? So help us to count the cost. Help us to go through all of this, Lord, and say, Lord, we're so excited to give birth to Your purposes. And even some people will be sent out of our church, Lord, and they will do great things for You, Lord. And that's awesome. That's what we want, Lord. We want to send people to the ends of the earth, Lord. But all we ask this morning is, Lord, create in us a capacity to be stretched, Lord. Create in us a capacity to go through these pains, Lord, and the joys that come with it. But Lord, help us not to walk away from this process, Lord. Not to shortcut this process, Lord. Because you know, if a baby comes too early, Lord, there's so many complications. Lord, we wanna go through the full 9 months, no matter how tough it is. I thank you that you help us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are the one that's always with us, Lord. You say, Lord, we are children of God, and therefore the process of giving birth to many sons will happen. You will do it, Lord, but you want to use us. If you're here this morning and you're really going through a challenging time and you just need some support, you need to recognize that the Holy Spirit needs to come and help you, and you just want to recognize that you're really going through a tough time personally, but you really believe it is God's purposes coming to pass, then I just want to pray with you there where you are. Just raise your hands if you feel like God is wanting to birth something through you and in you, and you're challenged by it. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you for endurance, for strength, perseverance. Is there anyone like that right now? Thanks for your obedience. If there's anyone else that needs prayer, just raise your hand. Lord, I thank you for people that are saying yes to you, Lord. Already, Lord, they see the challenges, Lord, but thank you that you give them endurance, Lord. Thank you that you help them to continue to push through and to wrestle in prayer, Lord, more than ever before, not to grow weary, Lord, but to persevere and to know that they're called as children of God, and you want to give birth to stuff in their lives, Lord. But thank you, as a church, I sense this morning that you really want us to also all embrace this, Lord, and to say yes, Lord. Even if it's over in a year's time, Lord, we want to say yes to these processes.